Carnegie in Concert presenting Bertie to Bryce, 50 years of Carmen de Leon. 50 years. Whose idea was this?
Stop saying that. It's
50, just, half a century.
My hair is getting grayer as you mention it. They used a term early on in their programming at the Carnegie that said celebrating his sesquicentennials. Somehow that sounded better than 50 years of waving my arms at orchestras. By the way, I mentioned that phrase to Nick Clooney recently, and he said, well, did any of them wave back? He's sharp.
That's Nick. Okay, take me back. When was the first time you did wave your arms at an orchestra? College student, prior to college?
College, it was the Mummers Guild at Wilson Auditorium. Moment of silence for that building, now gone. But it was there, and it was early May of 1964, the first time I actually got in front of an orchestra for an audience to hear. I'd gathered musicians together at CCM to sort of play a Brandenburg Concerto and this and that, but this was the first time I sort of bravely said, well, maybe I can do this. And it was a production of Bye Bye Birdie. So Bertie to Bryce is fitting because Fanny Bryce is involved here with Funny Girl being included on the program. But that was the first show, and it starred two folks who went on to Broadway to receive Tony Award nominations, actually. So it was a pretty good cast of characters. Leroy Reams was the director, the choreographer. He was painting sets. He was doing everything in the show and starring in it, by the way. And Leroy has come back to celebrate this anniversary with me.
Oh, that's great. What were your feelings? Were you jittery, nervous, having a good time?
I wasn't nervous at all, and I don't know why, and that's kind of carried through my entire career. I don't tend to get jittery before performances. Sometimes if I have a lot to talk about, if I'm just making music, somehow I'm rather relaxed, and I felt real comfortable with Bye Bye Birdie. All I remember is just having a ball, just having a great time of conducting this show. I had played in the
pit. I was going to ask you, had you done it before as a musician?
I was there very often in the pit of Wilson Auditorium playing either drums or French horn for their productions there. And on this occasion, the person who had normally done their conducting wasn't available. And I said, well, I could do that for you. And I think Leroy had a little hand in saying, well, okay, let's give this kid a chance. And it was fortuitous because it was very successful. And Leroy then graduated and went on to a career in professional dance. And my very first professional job when I received real money for conducting was when he was with Juliet Prowse on the West Coast.
Oh, Juliet Prowse.
Yes. Fond memories of Juliet. She didn't care for the conductor who was working with her at that moment in time. Leroy, one of her dancers, said, well, I know this guy in Cincinnati. He'd probably do a great job for you. And sight unseen, they called me, and I took my first plane ride out to Los Angeles, went into the studio, and there was Juliet Prowse. There were glory days. And that, again, was about the most fun I've ever had in my life, working with her and with the guys in her company.
Fast forward to not too terribly long ago when this was put together. Whose idea was it to do this kind of a celebration, retrospective, if you would, on Carmen?
Well, it was my idea, and it came about when I was sort of planning for our concert series in Middletown. And we were scheduled to do a performance in May. And I kind of thought back, well, May 2014, let's see, what does that mean? And suddenly I realized that it was 50 years since I first started conducting, and so I made up the program. I didn't really reveal in the brochure for the Middletown Symphony that it was my 50th anniversary. I just put together a whole bunch of musicals and called it a matinee musicale because we were performing in the afternoon. And then I spoke with Joshua Steele, the genius behind programming over at the Carnegie Arts Center, about me presenting the program twice, since Leroy Reams was going to be coming to town. Maybe he'd be interested in doing it in his hometown, which is Covington, Kentucky. And Joshua was interested, and we put the package together, and so that's how it happened.
No, I'm going to veer way off course because a thought just entered my mind. 50 years ago, this was in, was it in May that you did your first at Wilson? Okay, just a couple of months prior to that, 50 years ago, the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. Were you cognizant at all of what was about to sweep the nation? Were you aware of the pop music scene back then?
I was aware of the pop music scene, and I'm sure I was aware of the Beatles appearing on the show, but I didn't have an appreciation for them at that point in time. It wasn't until my college roommate, Dave Matthews, no, not that Dave Matthews, became a huge fan of the Beatles. And I wonder, well, what's going on here? I respected everything that Dave did. And if he admired what they were doing, maybe I better pay some attention. And sure enough, he was right. And the world was right to recognize their genius as well. You know what? I thought you were going to mention. I thought you were going to say just a few months earlier than that, in March, is when the Cincinnati Ballet did their first performance in Wilson Auditorium also. This all centers around Wilson. And sure enough, it's the 50th anniversary of the ballet company. But, of course, I hadn't been with them at the very beginning. But 5 years later, then I started with the Cincinnati Ballet. So that's why I'm celebrating 45 with them and 50 of starting my career, I guess you'd say.
On that point, was there a ballet orchestra, or were they dancing to recorded music, or what was the deal then?
In the early days of the ballet company, they did dance once in a while to live music, but that was all usually on the campus of the CCM, where they either had the school orchestra or small ensembles. They did a lot of performing to chamber music pieces and so on. So, but I think at Wilson, they probably would have been with recording.
Let's get back on course in 2014. Tell me about the program you put together. Now, obviously, Bye Bye Birdie is going to be a part of it.
It's the biggest part of it. It's the second half of the program, and we actually have gotten the materials for the entire show. So if we wanted to, we could put the whole thing on. But we've carefully selected pieces, and Leroy's going to sing a little bit and narrate a little bit. He's going to tell the story of Bye Bye Birdie. It's going to be so much fun. And we have four other singers who will be joining us to sing some of the other material, that which is written for the female voices, etc. On the first half of the program, again, I indulge myself by placing three pieces there that have something to do with important points in my conducting career, the first of which chosen was Funny Girl, and another Tony-nominated young lady who was the first person to graduate with a degree in stage arts from CCM. Pam Myers was my funny girl at the Mummers Guild in Wilson Auditorium once again. And this was the very first production that had been presented after Broadway. It was the first collegiate production of Funny Girl. Of course, Pam was wonderful in it. So we're doing selections from Funny Girl. Then we're doing selections also from Man of La Mancha. And this marked an important time for me. There was one summer back in the late 60s, early 70s, when the Playhouse in the Park did a production of Man of La Mancha, and they brought in an all-New York cast. I was conducting the show. I had done La Mancha a couple times prior to that. And in that cast was another graduate of CCM, Mr. David Canary, who was on later on the Bonanza series, and then he actually won 5 daytime Emmys for portraying identical twins, Stuart and Adam Chandler, on All My Children. So that was a very special production. And also, those who know Peter Shickley pretty well and know that he sometimes used what he called the bargain counter tenor. That was the gentleman who was portrayed the part of the Padre. So it was a real terrific production of La Mancha at the Playhouse. So I've included that, and Leroy will be there to narrate the story and at the end to sing To Dream the Impossible Dream. So that'll be a wonderful little spot in the show. And then we finish the first half with selections from The King and I. And that holds an important place for me because when I started on the conducting staff of Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra with Eric Kunzel and Max Rudolph, my first assignment, as I recall, was on a Pops program to conduct selections from The King and I. So it all kind of rounds about.
I remember seeing The King and I at the old Valley Theater on Reading Road in Roselawn.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw Yul Brynner in it here in Cincinnati, and his conductor, when he had done it originally on Broadway, was Milton Rosenstock. And Milton came to Cincinnati to chat with me about our production of Giselle, the ballet Giselle, because he was also then the conductor of the Dance Theater of Harlem. And so he stayed at our house, and lucky for me, at the same time, King and I was being presented down at the Taft Auditorium, and so he took me backstage. And of course, they were old buddies, Yule and he, and I remember asking Yul Brynner how he was feeling because he had suffered from throat cancer. And he said at the time that he had just gotten a doctor's report and everything looked wonderful. Everything was negative and he couldn't feel better. And I think it was probably less than a year and a half later that he passed away.
Wow. And you're bringing your whole orchestra, Middletown Symphony Orchestra, down to the Carnegie.
Yes, it'll be kind of a smaller ensemble, primarily because the stage at the Carnegie is fairly small. So we'll have a nice group of musicians, far larger than I used originally for Bye Bye Birdie. Something interesting about that, I tried to see whether some of the original musicians could come back and sort of be around for this production. Paul Pillar being one of them, and another one, Art Tripp, who was my percussionist for Bye Bye Birdie, and Art then went on to play with Captain Beefheart and Frank Zappa's band. I'm in touch with Art, who is now a chiropractor somewhere in the South.
Is he?
Yes.
I did not know that. Artie Tripp.
Yeah.
Artie Tripp.
Art Tripp with a green mustache.
And this is all happening at the Carnegie this coming Thursday evening at 7:30. Birdie DeBrice, 50 years of Carmen de Leon. Always a pleasure catching up with you. This is going to be a great show. Thank you so much.
Pleasure's all mine.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.
Yellow-bellied sapsucker. This bird had to be named the yellow-bellied sapsucker. What else could you call a yellow-bellied bird that drills a pegboard girdle around a tree to sip the sap? Sycamore is one of 277 flavors he favors. You can call yourself a yellow-bellied sapsucker, too, anytime you're tired of being a monkey's uncle. Just be sure you don't call anybody else a yellow-bellied sapsucker, except maybe a yellow-bellied sapsucker.